I don't think that was quite fair, asking if they wanted to listen to me or the Morrison sisters. You know they would rather listen to them than me. I was already told this morning, some young lady asked me, are you teaching Sunday school this morning? I said, yeah. Why, are you leaving? She said, I might. I'm like, okay. She says, well, I might stay if you just teach something I hadn't heard. I told her I didn't bring my NIV, amen? So, anyways, I told her, and then I said something to her. She said, say what? I said, it don't matter what I teach, you're not going to hear me anyways. That's the way a lot of us are, right? Amen. Turn them hearing aids up. Amen. Open your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to bounce around to two or three different scriptures here this morning. But listening to the Restore-a-thon, and I've been thinking all week long, and just how blessed we are. And boy, are we blessed. And so I looked up the word blessed in the Noah Webster's 1828. And blessed means happy, prosperous in worldly affairs, enjoying spiritual happiness and favor of God. I like that part, amen? And the favor of God. Boy, it pays to be a Christian, doesn't it? All the blessings that come along with that. And when we talk about being blessed, when we're healthy, it's easy to say, well, I'm blessed, right? Or if I'm wealthy, it's easy to say that I'm blessed. Or those who have spiritual gifts, like the Morrison sisters, right? And dad. It's easy to talk about, you know, hey, I'm blessed. Well, praise God, they are. I listen to them all the time in my car. I got a CD I played about wore out playing it. And I was going to practice singing along with them. You know, dad's job is safe, trust me. You know, because it doesn't matter how many times I play it, it doesn't change. I still sound the same when I sing along, amen? But we have our homes. Some people have more than one home. We're really blessed, aren't we? And when we talk about blessings, we think about food. You know, that's all we have to worry about is how much of it we're going to eat. Most of us have more than what we need, amen? How about our cars? Because most of us have more than one. We have cars. And our goods, you know, all of our junk. Most of us have several garage fulls of junk, right? Plenty of just stuff. A lot of stuff. Got to have our stuff. And then how about our church? Boy, are we blessed. We're blessed, especially right here in this church. We are so blessed to still be able to come to church and hear the gospel preached every time you come in here. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is such a blessing. My son attended here last Sunday. Most of you probably didn't know that, but he said he felt the Spirit of God just moving throughout the church. What a blessing. We are truly, truly a blessed people. But you know, the Restore-a-thon last night, well, we got right down to the last hour. Actually, right down to the last few minutes, and they were still $50,000 short of their goal. But isn't God good? Right at the last minute, we got a phone call in there, and somebody had to give $50,000. And then the phones just kept ringing. They ended up the total, you know, $57,000 some odd dollars. What a blessing! God's good, amen. But how about the other side of that, when things aren't so good? How about when the car, you only have one car and it's broke? Huh? Or how about when the cupboards are empty and there's no food? No paycheck, no job. Don't know how you're going to eat next week. Can't pay your light bill. No phone. God forbid nowadays, right? I mean, how about the other side? How about when your health's not so good? You know, through all of that, no matter how bad it is, we talk about how good God is on the mountaintops. God is still God in the valleys. You know, when I think about that, I think about Brother Jeff Cruz, who worked with us for years and years up here in the radio room up here. And when Jeff got cancer, and it began just to destroy his body. And of course, we know he ended up, he's in heaven with the Lord Jesus now. But through all of that, Jeff says, I'm going to beat you to heaven. Amen. What a blessing. See, even on the downside, even in the valleys, God is good. And we are so blessed, especially as Christians. We are blessed. We have God's promises, happiness, prosperous worldly affairs, enjoying spiritual happiness, and the favor of God. What else can we ask for? All of these things and all of these blessings come from God. But sometimes, even though we have all of these things, sometimes I just feel like we have forgotten what it's like to be saved. You know, some of us have been saved so long. I've been saved most of my life. I got saved when I was like 13 years old. So I've been saved most of my life. But this week, for whatever reason, God just laid it on my heart just how blessed we truly are. Good or bad, no matter where we're at, if we're on the mountain or we're in the valley, God's just so good to us. And look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We just talked about that and as part of the Noah Webster's dictionary there, in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Now, I know a lot of people get messed up on that predestination thing. It doesn't mean that you were chosen and somebody else wasn't chosen. We were all predestinated. It's up to you to make that decision as to whether or not you're going to love Christ and serve the Lord Jesus. It's your option. He's already loved you, and he's already given you that option. To himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Tells us right here that we've been redeemed, purchased, bought back to the Lord Jesus Christ. The fall in the garden, that sin curse passed upon all men. Here we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins. What a blessing. According to his riches of his grace, wherein he hath abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. That's the gospel, salvation. According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. I love that part right there. The children of God, we have an inheritance of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit, that's a capital S, of promise. Folks, our salvation is sealed. It's forevermore. Eternal life, amen? Well, I read all that to say this. We, in the time that you and I, most everybody in this room, has grown up in the Philadelphian church age. You understand how blessed we are? this right here, we can apply this to our lives, amen? Our children today and our grandchildren today aren't coming up in the same time and era that we did. The gospel is still available to them. But just think about how you were raised. When I was a child coming up, just about everybody went to church. And in the churches that you went to, pretty much preached the gospel. The gospel was a time in our history in America that the gospel was being spread and souls were being saved across America. And today, our children and our grandchildren are being flooded with everything but the gospel. The churches most of the churches you go to today, they don't preach the gospel. They preach about how good you can feel, how good you are. Well, my Bible doesn't teach us that. My Bible doesn't teach me how good I am. My Bible teaches me how good my God is, how good my Jesus is, amen? But in today's world, when I read through this and I think about the time that I grew up in, I thank God that I grew up in a time where I was able to come to the knowledge of saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't even imagine coming up in a time that we're living in today as a child. Now, you know, this group of folks right here, sure, we're getting the gospel out to our children. But look around the globe. Look around the entire United States. Turn the news on. Look what's going on. Look at the things that our children are being taught, even in our public schools. All the things that are being taught. So when I think about being blessed, blessings go much further than just our home and our food and our car. When we read through Ephesians right here, we realize, we can see how truly blessed we are. No matter where we are, no matter what state that we're in, no matter what's going on in our lives, they can't take away our salvation. That's ours permanently. And this life is going to be over fast. It's going to go by so fast. The older I get, the more I realize how short life is. It seems like every year passes just a little faster, doesn't it? Just a little quicker. All right, go with me now. Over to back, just a few pages back to your left. Go to Galatians chapter 1. I'm just going to read a few verses here. We touched a little bit on this a few weeks ago. I'm going to read verse 6. Start with verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. There is no other gospel. There is but one. That's what the uproar is about. That's what the whole problem is with Christianity. We believe there's only one gospel. We believe there's one Jesus, one God, and one way to heaven. And the world does not like that. Amen? But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Folks, there's only one gospel. But today, they're teaching everything but the gospel. So that's why when I look back growing up as a child, I was blessed. Everybody in this room, we're so blessed to have come up in a time. I mean, think about that. If we had been growing up in a different time, if you was growing up right now in the Laodicean church age, there's a good possibility that you would never in your lifetime ever truly hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've had person after person tell me, led somebody to the Lord, you out soul winning, and they've been in church all their life now and have never heard the gospel. Never knew that they had to be born again to see the kingdom of God. Never knew that. So when I was reading through that and I saw that, I'm like, man, we are just so blessed. Go with me now to Revelation chapter 3. I'm going to read just a few verses from the Philadelphian church age. Just start in verse 7 of chapter 3. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, and he that is true, he that hath the key of David, He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thou works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. We continue to teach the gospel. Amen. Now look down at verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. That's the Philadelphian church age that we grew up in. What a blessing. Now look over to verse 14. This is the church age that we live in today, the Laodicean church age. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. That would be the author of this book. Amen. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And you've heard pastors say many, many a time that today the church age that we're living in makes God sick to his stomach. He just wants to spew him out of his mouth. This is the time that our grandchildren are living in. This is the day that they're being raised up in. What is a lukewarm church? It's not a church like us. Thank God. We still have a Philadelphian church right here. But that's a church that's on fire for God. That's a church that's out knocking doors. That's the church that's running the buses and bringing the children in to get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. That's the church that has a pastor in a pulpit that preaches out of the King James Bible and preaches the truth. Amen? That's what a warm church is, a hot church. When you look at a lukewarm church, church has been cooled off. They're not out knocking doors. A cold church. They're just going through the motions. They show up on Sunday morning, maybe Sunday night. Some do or do not have a service on Wednesday anymore. They're only in church to pacify themselves. They're not there to serve God. They're going through all the motions that they're supposed to go through. But they're not serving God. They're not out knocking doors. They have no desire to go out and knock doors. They're not running buses, God forbid. They don't want children in their church running around tearing up stuff. That's the time that we live in. So I feel blessed that the time that I was raised up in, a man named Joe Smith took time to talk to a little boy, 13 years old, took me to church where I got saved. And because of that, my father and my entire family come to know Christ. Because that we grew up in a time where Christian people loved and served God and done all that they could do to spread the gospel. Well, folks, we should be filled super blessed. Because today in this Laodicean church age, that's not happening very often. There's a few churches like us that's still out knocking doors, still trying to lead people to Christ. We have a school. We have the radio. The radio is probably the biggest missionary we've got, amen? But everything that goes on here, everything is to try to bring souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in verse 15. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Does that not sound like America? You know, used to, I remember when I was a little boy, when things didn't go good, people got on their knees and prayed to a holy God and asked God for the provisions that they needed, whether it be a house payment or food or a job or whatever it may be. Today, they just hold their hand out to Uncle Sam. Right? And get their entitlements. They don't need a God. They don't even need a job for the most part. They don't want a job. They just want a check. Well, that's the society that we live in. And that's what you see right here. I am rich and increased with good and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They don't even know that they're lost and on their way to hell. They don't have a clue. And unfortunately, there's not a church out there telling them anything. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, with white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. That's where we're at today, folks. The church house has kicked God out. He's on the outside now, knocking. But he'll still open the door to you. He'll still accept you if you open your heart and ask him into your life. He'll take you in. Folks, we should be super blessed to know that the time that I just feel like we grew up in the best time on this earth. You understand? I mean, look at everything that's going on in the news. We know that we're living in this last church age. This is the seventh church, the Laodicean church. It's the last one. There's not a number eight. So we know it's the last one. And with everything that's going on in the news today, we can plainly see that everything's about to come to a head. I believe the rapture is going to take place. And I believe the majority of us are going to live to see it. What better time could we possibly live in? To be born and raised in the Philadelphian church age. As we transitioned over into Laodicean church age, we're still a Philadelphian church, still serving God. But to be raised in this particular time, where we may see the glorious return of our Lord Jesus Christ, come to get his church, what a blessing that is. Folks, we need to live with that, and we need to have that mindset. Just like last night on the radio, yeah, we reached our goal. But I promise you, there's a lot of people out there that could have done a lot more than what they did. And there's a lot of people out there that probably hadn't done anything yet and now probably are regretting it. Say, man, I should have done this, or I should have done that. I should have given. There's a lot of churches out there that listen to the radio, but they don't have a radio station. And folks, we're not out here to steal anybody out of anybody else's church. That's not what the radio does. But if you're listening and you're from another church and you don't have a radio station, then you should be supporting 90.3 to get the gospel out to the lost, because that's what it's all about. We're not trying to steal you from your church. We're just trying to get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ around the country. Not only that, but it goes around the world. It reaches places that we're not allowed to send a missionary. But the gospel can get in there, and we'll never know until we get to heaven how many people have gotten saved because the radio was able to reach them. But let me just say something to you. It's not too late. You can give to a Restore-a-thon all year round. You can mail it in, and all you have to do is write on the envelope on your check, Restore-a-thon, and that money will go to the radio station, or put 90.3 radio. That money will go towards the radio station. You say, yeah, but preacher, we reached our goal. Yes, we did. That was the minimum goal that we need to get through the year. But it's always nice to go above that. You know, we could use a little more power, but it costs money. Everything that you do down there costs a lot. Electronics are expensive. So everything we do costs us a lot of money. So the more money that we have, the more that we can do. So it's never too late. So if you didn't get a chance to give to Restore-a-thon, it's not too late. You can still write a check, put it in an envelope, you can put it in the church offering plate, you can send it through the mail. It doesn't matter how you get it to us. But it's not too late. It's not too late to serve God through the radio station. Amen. If you haven't done that, then you need to do that. I was looking at this clock, brother, and I thought I was out of time. But the hands was in the wrong place. And the light was shining on. I still have a couple or so minutes. So let's go to 2 Corinthians. Back to your left again. Let me see, chapter 4. We've got just a few minutes left here. chapter 4 and verse 3. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid unto them that are lost. And I know none of us are guilty of that. But think about something. We transitioned from a Philadelphian church age into a Laodicean church age. And in order for that to happen, there had to be some lights that were hid. There had to be some Christians that weren't showing themselves to be Christians. And I know we don't want to hear about that. But the way we live our lives and the things that we do, the main thing that we need to do is love people. And I don't know about you, but that's the hardest thing there is for me to do, is to love people. You know, if it weren't for people, the church would be absolutely perfect. Right? Am I right? But unfortunately, I'm here, and you're here. Well, I should say fortunately, and as long as we're here, it's never going to be perfect. Because you and I aren't always on the same thought wave, are we? Everybody's just a little bit on the selfish side. But we need to make sure that our gospel is not hid to the lost. It's okay to be a little bit selfish. But folks, we need to make sure that we get the gospel out. And if you're not able to get out here and knock doors, God bless you. I understand that. My hip gives me I'm fine standing here. I'm fine walking 20 feet. If I have to walk to the back of the church and come straight back, when I get here, I'm done. So it's hard to get out and knock doors. I understand that. But it's not hard to send a check to the radio station. Or it's not hard to put a check in the offering plate where we can send somebody out to run these buses and bring these children in here and get the gospel to them. Folks, there's a lot of ways to get the gospel out. There's a lot of things that you and I can do to participate in that. And when we look at everything that's going on in the news, if you've got it, let me tell you something. You're not taking it with you. Okay, you're going to leave it here behind you. And guess what? If the rapture was to take place today, all that you have left, a liberal is going to spend it for you. Them Democrats are going to get their hands on it, amen? And I know they're getting mad at me now, but I don't care. But they're going to spend that money for you. So why don't you just go ahead and send it ahead? Give it to the Lord and let him use it for his glory. And you'll get a crown when you get to heaven for it. Amen? Now, I'm not saying sign all your wealth over so you can't eat next week. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying we can do a lot more than what we do. I think last night was evidence of that. Amen? And I honestly, I believe that that goal last night had been $350,000. I still believe we would have got it. I really do. Because I've just noticed that people give when the need is true. When they can truly see that, hey, look, nobody else is going to give. I got to give. They'll give. But, folks, I think we just all need to step up and do that little bit more. Because I don't know about you, but I think the rapture is going to take place. And I believe it's coming any day. And I believe we're going to live to see it. And I sure don't want to be ashamed when I get to heaven. I don't want to look back and say, man, I wish I'd have done this or done this or done that. And we're all guilty. Every single one of us are guilty of not doing all that we can do. Because all of us can always do just a little more. And I know it's hard sometimes, especially for one of those older folks. Well, these old bodies, I don't know about yours, but mine stays tired all the time. You put it down tired and you get it up tired. Right, amen? Right? I'm there too. All right, I'm out of time, so we'll stop right there. Let me get the Sunday school count this morning.